Hallelujah. I'd like you to turn the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 with me this morning, please. I'd like to stand as we open God's infallible Word. That's something else religion despises, and that is an absolute authority. The world loves relativism. The Bible is absolute. In all of its statements, pronouncements, the Word of God is absolute. Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Father, in thy name we pray, add your blessing now to the reading of your word, and let your word go forth as you intend it, and it'll prosper in the thing whereto you have sent it, and it shall not return unto you void. In thy holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. And thus we read in Matthew chapter number 2, when Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea. The Bible says in verse number 23 of chapter 1, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. My, what a name! And he called his name Jesus. Well, that name falls upon the ears of a human being, they're forced to make a decision. When you hear the name of Jesus, it does something to the inside of a man's soul. It's not like hearing the name Abraham Lincoln, due respect to his name. It's not like hearing the name of George Washington, with all respect to his name. But when you hear the name of Jesus, it commands something. And you hear the name of Jesus, it demands something. The name of Jesus reaches deeper than the name of George Washington or Abraham Lincoln could ever reach, though all respect to these two men. But the name of Jesus reaches down to the heart and to the soul of a man. It speaks to him in a place that nothing else can speak. Because of who he is, men tried to wipe his name from the face of the earth. They tried to remove him from the history books. They tried to say that he was nothing in the world more than a myth, that he was created by historians, that this man Jesus never really lived. But we have ample proof from secular history that he did. Tacitus, Pliny, Josephus, and many others have recorded about this man Jesus. But the most important record that we have is what I just read for you from the Word of the Living God. And the reason for that is because the Word of God is the inspired Scripture. It is God speaking to men. Therefore, he said, call him Jesus. For the Bible said he shall save his people from their sins. There's no one in this house this morning that has never heard the name of Jesus. You heard his name. Some of you heard it early on in life as little children. Some of you can go back as far as your mind can carry you. And as far back as you can remember, you've heard the name of Jesus. Some of you lived a long time, though, lived out in this world in places and never heard that name, and then finally you heard the name of Jesus, and when you heard the gospel message, it put a claim upon your soul. He said, call him Jesus. That name Jesus is loaded with meaning. It's a very, very, very powerful name. For the name Jesus is the New Testament form of the Old Testament Joshua or Jehoshua, and it literally means Jehovah saves. So call him Jehovah saves. Every time they said the name Jesus, they were saying, Jehovah saves. They were saying that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the Savior. And my friend, there is nothing greater that you could say of Jesus than to say that He's the Savior. Because He earned that title. He paid for it with His own blood. He went to the cross at Calvary and bought and paid for the title of Savior. He was born Lord. He was born God. He was born Sovereign. But He became the Savior. So call Him Jesus. He wants that name. That's His name from eternity past. He wants you to call Him Jesus. There's nothing sweeter, I think, in the ears of the Lord Jesus Christ than to hear His name called forth from the soul of a true believer. It's one that has experienced the Savior. He knows what it is to be saved. He knows what it is to be forgiven for his sins. For the Lord Jesus Christ to hear from one of His own the name of Jesus rise up in his ears in the moment of greatest sorrow, in the time of the greatest doubt, when you need Him the worst, and you say, Jesus. And all you know you can say is Jesus. It's just the name Jesus. You may not be able to pray at that moment. You may not be able to understand what you're going through, but the name Jesus will never depart from you. If you're a true believer, it'll always be on your heart. It'll be at the tip of your tongue. It'll be the name of Jesus that is sweetest to you in the hour of need, for there is no greater name. There's been a lot of names of a lot of people on this earth, but my friend, the name of Jesus, call Him Jesus, call Him Jesus. And I've heard that name, and I heard it in my soul. And when I heard the name of Jesus in my soul, He changed this old boy that was a child of hell into a child of God. I call Him Jesus every day. Throughout the day, I whisper the name Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, sweet, sweet Jesus. My precious Jesus, how I love the name of Jesus, and how I love that one that is Jesus, calling Jesus. If you ever heard the name of Jesus outside your brain and heard Him in your heart, you're going to do something about Jesus, because He's already done something about you. My friend, there's something about Him that stirs the human heart. It moves the human soul. It's something deep down inside of you that's crying to God for help. And that help is the name of Jesus. In Matthew 2, we read about a little baby that was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And the Bible said in the days of Herod the king, Herod was one of the worst monsters that ever walked on the face of this earth. He fits, my friend, as low as they come. He was as low as they go. Herod the Great, they called him. But he was a murderer. He killed his own wives, his own sons, anyone about him. And here in Matthew, it talks about how that from the children of two and under, He had them put to death. This is the Herod. But Jesus is contrasted with Herod. In the days of Herod the monster, King Jesus into the world. Oh, what a blessing. What a day that was. In the name of Jesus, I want you to go back with me 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 years. I want you to go back when only God Almighty stood upon this earth that He had made. He could see from one end of it to the other, and all over this globe, the Bible said He said it was good. My friend, here we have the animal creation. Here we have all that God had made, the stars, the moon, and everything that existed. But there was one left yet, one and one left yet that was so important. It was when He stopped, He stooped, He bent down into the dust of the ground, and He formed the body of a human being. There lying on the ground was the body of a man. Who would have ever thought about a man? I mean, here we have everything God's made, but He makes a man. This man is different from all other creatures. He bears the image of God. He's a creature, but He's unique, and He bends down and He breathes into His nostrils the breath of life. Life comes from life. Life doesn't come from death. Life comes from above. He breathed life into that body that was lying on the ground that had been created. And Adam rose up a living being. He now bears in his soul the image of Almighty God. Here a man stands on the earth that just a little while before there was no man. And He made him from above. He comes down and creates the man. And then the breath leaves the man's body. It goes back to God that gave it.
That breath of life has left that body, and that body falls back down to the dirt. That body goes back down to the ground. Now I want you to put your soul in what I'm saying. From the ground the man was made. From above the life was put into his body. And he walked upon this earth a living creature. And then when he dies, that life goes back to the one who gave it. And he goes back into the dirt from whence he came. Had he not built any buildings? Had he not written any books? Had he not made anything? There wouldn't even be a record of a man ever existing. For he came from the dirt, and he goes back to the dirt. From dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return. But what a thing he has done. He has brought man up from the dust of the ground. He has put his life into him, and he became a living soul. And now he went one step further. He came down and become what God Almighty, become what a man is. God himself has become a man. He has incarnated himself as a man. And by doing that, he has given him immortality. He has given man eternal life. He has allowed man to live forever. He has allowed him to have the very life of God Almighty. And so, my friend, it is no longer from dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return. No, 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 no. From dust thou art, and into glory thou shalt be forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what the incarnation is about. It's about God becoming a man. I cannot emphasize the importance. I cannot stress to you this morning how important that is. It is no longer from dust to dust. It is no longer a creature that existed. And had he gone back to the dust and not left his mark, you would have never known man was even here. But now man is seated at the right hand of the Father. And men, that's what I am, will forever walk where God walks. Amen. Hallelujah. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There are magnitudes of difference in life. There's the life of a thing that even crawls out of the ground and lives in dirt and mud all of its existence and never sees the sun. I don't even wonder if it even has a brain. It's just a living thing. It's there. Then there's the life of the Almighty, and his life is everlasting. He lived before anything ever lived. It was the life of God. And between that thing that crawls in the ground of the ground and the life of Almighty God, somewhere in there man showed up. And some men understand that that's all the life there is. They'll tell you that the life that you now live in the flesh is all the life there is. To eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. He eats the flesh. He lives by the flesh. He loves the flesh. He knows no more than the flesh. But I've got a life inside my soul that can't stay in this body long. I've got a life alive in me that's greater than this flesh. Amen. I've got a life in me that reaches for the stars. I've got a life in me that came from God. That's the very life of God himself. I've got a life in me that's going to be turned loose one day. And here I leave this place behind. Hallelujah. He shall save his people from their sins. A lot of people have a misunderstanding that heaven is nothing but a glorified earth. And they think that it's all about a place up there in glory. He shall save his people from their sins. He's the Savior. He's life. He's the giver of life. To receive the Son is to receive life. It's to receive the life of God. It's to receive everlasting, eternal life. My friend, listen. This world is bound by sin. It's bound to death. It's bound to hell. It has no hope. It goes nowhere but down. The grave is its final abode. But once you're set free from this place, once your soul and spirit sails out of this world, you go into the very presence of God, where there is no death, there is no sin, there is no hell, there is no dying. My friend, it's all glory, for hereafter it is the presence and the power of Almighty God. That's what the God-man did 2,000 years ago. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter number 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, There are four things I want you to see about Jesus. First of all, that He's life. Receive Him is to receive life. Secondly, He's the Savior. These people were saved. These kings that came from the east that bowed down before this little baby were saved. How do you know, preacher? He that hath the Son hath life. And they had Him. Third thing I want you to see is that He is the King. They said, where is He that is born King of the Jews? The Lord Jesus Christ, a little baby born in a cow's pasture, in a manger, in the lowest of lows. Kings aren't born there. But this King is. Why? Because His kingdom is not of this world. And then the fourth thing I want you to see about this little baby is that He's a Lord. He's Lord. Now here's what the word Lord means. It means He's the owner. He's the possessor. It all belongs to Him. I don't see His little hand reaching out taking anything. He was here for 33 years. He never forced Himself on anybody. He never took anything. And for 33 years He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything there is. He's the Lord. And the Bible said that He'll come when every knee shall bow and they will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the day, Christian friend. My brothers and my sisters, those of you listening to this preacher this morning, that's the day when you're really going to get a hold of His magnificence and His glory. It's when the day is revealed that at the name of Jesus, every knee in the universe bows and you understand Him as the possessor of heaven and earth, of a new heaven and a new earth. He owns it all. Hallelujah. How in the world could I be poor? For my Lord God is rich beyond measure. How could I consider myself to be poor when I know one that can heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, save the sinner, and deliver the captive? My friend, I am rich. I am rich. I make Bill Gates look like a pauper. The only thing Bill Gates is what money can buy. That's all he's got. All he's got's what money can buy, and his money is worth less every day. But the one that I serve is rich beyond measure. For the things that Bill Gates buys with his money to try to enhance his life on this earth, to enjoy what he can enjoy, the pleasures of things, God Almighty has blessed me with riches that reach beyond this world and reach into His presence. Things that money cannot buy. That's a different message of the things that money cannot buy. I want you to notice here in Matthew chapter 2, Herod the Great rejected the King. He rejected the King for the same reason that men still reject Him to this day. Why, preacher? They reject Him because they want something here and now. They want it now. They want it here. They want material things now. This is their Lord, their world, their kingdom. And if you're a born-again believer, you know as well as I do that this world is not my home. If my relationship with God today is built upon what God puts on my table, in my pocket, on my back, then I am no more different than a materialistic world. I just happen to be religious. I am. If my relationship with God is built entirely on the stuff I get from God, then God is just another way to get what you want, and you're no different from the rest of the world. My relationship with Him is built on this. When it gets darker than dark, when it gets colder than cold, when it's hopeless without hope, when I see no end to it, and I crawl off in the corner and all I can say is, Jesus, I know there is one that hears me that can answer from above, and He can do above and beyond all that I might ask or think. I know whom I have believed. He's proven Himself to me a thousandfold, and I am in the midst now of prayer, seeking the face of God for His God's hand to touch my family and my life. I want that to happen. And things won't do the job. How much God has blessed me because your son got saved. Is he 38 years old? That's what I figured. It's been 38 years. You've been praying. You've been seeking the face of God. You've been calling on the Lord for 38 years, asking God to save her son. The devil had told her a long time ago, quit praying. There's a waste. You're wasting your time. He'll never get saved. There's no use. Give up. Quit. Stop. And now I'm saved. Hallelujah. Amen. So I won't quit praying either. I'll keep praying. I'll keep praying. I'll keep praying. I'll keep seeking His face. I'll keep calling upon Him. I'll keep naming names. I'll keep taking those names before the Almighty. I'll bug Him to death. I'll worry Him to death. I'll aggravate Him till He can't get any rest. I'll be like the importunate woman was when she came to the judge. The judge says, if I don't do something, she's going to worry me to death. That's what he said. Paraphrase him, of course. That means that God's got to hear you. That means if you're a born-again believer, He has to hear what you say. That means if you know Him, you're living for Him, you've got an ear in heaven. Well, my friend, I'm calling on an ear in heaven. Everything's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect here. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. That encourages me. That encourages me greatly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That encourages me. Why should He save me and not save you? Why should He change a low-down, stinking piece of scum like I am into a child of God and not save you? Why is He able to pour out grace upon my soul and He had a lot of grace to pour out on me? Why should He pour out that kind of grace on me that was born and raised in hell? Why would He be so merciful and gracious to me and not be to you? Amen. 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 I don't give up and I don't quit. Thank God for the book. Thank God for that baby in Bethlehem and Judea. I'm afraid that most of the people around here think that this time of the year is about buying and giving gifts and singing Christmas carols and about having parties and drinking and this and that. But that's not what it is to me. It reminds me one more time, God became a man. One more time, God became a man. I don't know if I really understand that. I really don't know if I take in the complete import of what that means. God became a man. And He had to come to become a man. In order for you to become what He wants you to become, He had to become what we are. Men. In order to redeem us and take us where He is, He had to come down where we are. And become a man. Thank God He's already proven Himself to me when He saved me. Thank God He's proven Himself to me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And He'll prove Himself to you. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't quit. Somebody needs to hear that. Satan blasts me in the face time and again. No use in praying. Quit. Stop. Forget it. And I'm not going to do it. Because I remember where I came from and what I was. And I know He saved me. Has He saved you? So I'd ask you what Christmas was about. What would you tell them? Let me tell you what Christmas is about. It's about God becoming a man. The God-man. You want to know His name? Jesus. The God-man. Father, I pray now You'd use what I've said, Lord. I've spoken, God, as You move my heart. That's what I want You to do. I ask You to speak through me, Heavenly Father, not through my brain, but through my heart. I ask You this morning, Holy One, to use these vocal cords in this body that I'm in right now, this temporal place that I dwell in right now at this moment. I ask You to use this body, Father, for Your glory and to speak from above to us. And God, I believe You have. Now, Heavenly Father, this morning I pray for those who've heard it. And God, they lay hold of that promise. They embrace it. And they receive it. If Jesus is the Savior, He's either the Savior of all men, Lord, or He's not the Savior of any. Either He can save regardless of who and what you are, or Him being a Savior is just a bunch of words that have no meaning. If He's truly the Savior, that means He's able to save to the uttermost. That means He's able to reach down in the darkest hole. That means He's able to cast away every demon of hell that would stop Him from reaching that one He wants to speak to. I believe He's the Savior. And I believe He's the Savior of all men. And I believe that He can be, I believe every man can be saved. And I believe every man Christ died for. And I believe He tasted their death. And I believe when He shed His blood for every man. In Jesus' name we pray. And heads are bowed, nobody looking this morning. Is there anybody in this house that would say, Preacher Lawson, I really don't have what you're talking about. I don't have this kind of this confrontation I had with God sometime or another where God Almighty came into my life and changed me. I don't know what you're talking about. I've always believed all the Bible things to believe about Jesus, and I somehow or another I've tried to love Him all my life, but I don't know what you're talking about. Then you've never been born again, my dear friend. You have an intellectual belief in Him, but not heart salvation. Anybody in the house, raise your hand this morning and say, Preacher Lawson, that's me. I've never really met Him like you're talking about. I really don't know Him like you're talking about. God bless you. Father, hand went up. You saw that hand. Now, Father, I cannot change anything. I'm just the messenger. But, Holy One, I pray right now for that hand that went up, for that dear soul, acknowledging their condition, the first step in truly understanding and knowing who You are. They acknowledge their condition. They don't hide behind religion. They don't hide behind some false thing, some made-up religious act or something. They acknowledge that they don't have that. Jesus, their name was on Your lips when You died on the cross. You spoke their name. And when You said, it is finished, You finished it for them. You finished it for them. May that become true and real to their heart. May the God of this world who blinds the minds of men be cast asunder, and the truth will rule over him. In Jesus' name, I pray for that soul that raised their hand. In Thy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up this morning. Stand up,
brother. Page number 364 in the All-American.
You come.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in
the sweetest
ear.
Name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Earth. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Yes.
Yes,
I love Him. I love Him. I love You, Jesus.
I
love You, Jesus.
Because He first loved me.
I love His name. I love Him.
It tells me of a Savior, Son, who died to set me free.
He can do it.
It tells me of His
what do you need right now? He can do it. What kind of shape are you in? He can help you. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love
Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Because He first loved
the heart that embraces His word and the heart that embraces Him in faith knows no bounds. No bounds, no bounds, no bounds. I've told you time and again, faith will carry you further than your mind can even conceive. I know whom I have believed. Amen. Sing another verse, brother.
It tells me what my Father has.
Do you know Him, folks? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? I came out of hell. I came out of a hell hole. Thank God I got saved. Some folks, you just can't get that cross to them.
How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved
me. I owe Him for everything. Some days I just go around talking, thanking Him, thank Him, thank you, thank you. I owe you, I owe you. I got a roof over my head, clothes on my back, something to eat. I owe you, I owe you. I got more than I ever deserved. I owe you, Lord, I owe you. Thank you. Never deserved what God's done for me and what He's given to me. No way under the sun do I deserve that. You've been too good to me. Sing another verse, brother.
It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in its sorrow bears a part that God can bear below.
Sing it.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
How I love Jesus.
Because He first loved me. I pray the powers of hell are broken. I pray the deceits of the lie and devil are overruled. That's how God did it in the Old Testament. He overruled their cunning and their deceits. I pray that God Almighty by the Holy Spirit moves in and begins to touch the people that I'm praying for and the hearts that need it. God help us. We need the Lord. I pray that. And we had a sister come to me this morning and said that her son has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. Randy Estes. I've known Randy Estes for 35 years, nearly. And he's been diagnosed with prostate cancer. She wants to be anointed for him in proxy. I'd ask you to come on up here. And then I call his name out before the Lord. Would you do that? Pray for Randy Estes. Pray for him. How many of you believe God can heal him? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, He can. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't pray. What's the use in praying if you don't believe God's able to do it? Yeah, his body is just absolutely shutting down on him, and he gets to where he can't even walk around. Her brother's seriously ill. Charles Sweat, he's a sick man, but he's got an awful good spirit about it and a good temperament about him. If you know him at all, you know he'll bless you just being around him. Let's pray. Anybody like to come down here at the front and let's anoint our sister right here, Randy Estes. Call him.